you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I hope you are having a wonderful February so far. I mean, it's only February 2nd, so I hope it's going pretty well so far. I actually can't believe that it's already February. It feels like January just went whoosh and zipped right on by. I'm not really sure where it whooshed off to, but wow, January went fast. And so here we are in February and back to a new episode of the Health and Wellness Podcast. And today I would like to talk about wellness and wholeness in sort of a comprehensive, all-around way. Often when we think about health, the first thing we think about is physical health, right? Whether that's dieting, exercising, whatever that might be, often when we think about health, we think first of our physical health. That's expanding a little bit. We're starting to talk a little bit more about mental health, which is good. But in order to be truly healthy, you really have to focus on your health as a whole. And it's more than just your physical health, which of course is very important, but it's more than just your mental health, which is also very important. There's so many aspects of our overall health that work together. If your physical health is off, your mental health isn't going to be as great, and vice versa. Now, I am going to talk about something called the wholeness wheel on today's episode, and the wholeness wheel comes from my Lutheran tradition. I grew up Lutheran and have been a Lutheran my whole life. I still go to church in the Lutheran church. And I encountered the wholeness wheel during some time working with the, it's called a synod. I'm not going to give you too much church language here on this podcast in Montana, but it's a national thing. So there's an Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that is the Lutheran denomination to which I belong. And they have put out many years ago something called the wholeness wheel that helps to look at wholeness and health, look at health from this whole perspective, from more than just looking at it from only physical or only mental health or only spiritual health. All of those are important. Now, this does come from a Lutheran perspective, as I said, but the way I'm going to be talking about it today, I think it can be modified to include all of us. You don't have to be Lutheran. You don't have to be Christian for this to work. Now, in the Lutheran tradition, baptism is a very important part of our life of faith. And so at the center of this wheel is baptism. That's fine. But you do not have to believe in baptism to believe in this wheel. Because the wheel itself consists of six parts: social and interpersonal well-being, emotional well-being, physical well-being, financial well-being, vocational well-being, and intellectual well-being. Six parts of our whole self, of our whole well-being. And you do not have to be a member of any certain church for spiritual well-being to be a part of you. You don't even have to necessarily believe in any kind of God for spiritual health to be part of you. But we all believe in something outside of ourselves. And when we are healthy in that belief, that can really help our overall health. So we're going to be talking about each of these sections in this episode. And to start, why don't we go ahead and start with that spiritual well-being. So as I said, because this is from the Lutheran Church, their definition is going to be more God-centric than your definition might be. But let me just read you their definition, and then we can talk a little bit more about how this might affect your overall health, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. So, living a centered life focused on God affects each aspect of our well-being. Turn to God for strength as you seek to live well in Christ. Nurture your relationship with God through prayer, devotions, worship, nature, art, and music. Explore who you are and know whose you are. Okay, again, very, very Christocentric, right? But living a centered life in terms of spirituality, I think all of us can relate to that on some level. You can be agnostic. You can be an atheist and still have a spiritual life, whether that is in meditation, whether that is in art or beauty. There's still a spiritual aspect to your nature in some way, right? Many people say they feel closest to whatever they perceive God to be in nature. So your spiritual health is just an aspect. It's almost another part of your mental health, but it's in believing in something outside of yourself, whether you feel better physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever, in nature, that's part of your spirituality. Whether you feel best when you have a relationship with God, whether you are Southern Baptist, Muslim, Jewish, Lutheran, whatever it might be, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever your tradition might be, there's an element of spirituality to your life. And that is what this is saying. Focus on that. Look to that source outside of yourself, whatever it might be, that gives you strength. If you're a Christian and that's Christ, that's great. If you are Jewish and that is God and all of those names for God that we do not speak, that is wonderful too. If you are, you know, if you worship nature, that's that spirit outside of yourself. There's so many spiritual aspects to our being, and they can bring us a source of overall health. Just think of meditation. Let's use meditation or yoga. You do not have to be a member of any church or religious affiliation or anything else to practice meditation or yoga. But yoga and meditation can be spiritual practices. They help you to center yourself. They help you to focus on your own breathing, on your own experience of the moment that you are in. And they can help your overall health as well. Of course, yoga can help with your physical health. They can both help with your emotional and mental health. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you are suddenly affiliating yourself with any kind of religious organization or religious belief. So spiritual well-being, just that belief in something outside of yourself, something bigger than yourself. And whatever that is, you need to nurture it, because spiritual well-being is one of these six factors. And the better balanced these six parts of your wholeness wheel are, the healthier overall you are going to be as a person. So again, the description that they give is very Christocentric, of course, because it does come from the Lutheran Church. But take some time to think about your spiritual health. How would you define your spiritual health, first of all? Where do you sense spirituality in your life? There's a common phrase that you hear all the time in society anymore, and it's that, well, I'm spiritual but not religious. Okay, cool. What does that mean for you? What do you mean when you say you are spiritual? Because that's going to help your overall health when you are able to define that. Does that mean that you go for hikes and you find yourself at one with the nature surrounding you? Does that mean that you go to church or synagogue or anywhere else, or a temple or a house with full of friends that just sit around to talk about philosophy? That can be a spiritual center for you. whatever you define it as, nurture it. Nurture it in your own life in some way. It doesn't have to be complicated. If you can do 5 minutes of yoga here and there, that's a great place to start. If you can meditate, that's another great place to start. If prayer is important to you, do that. Do whatever it is that's going to nurture you spiritually. So that is the first of our six, spiritual well-being. And we're going to move on now to social and interpersonal well-being. And the definition I'm going to give you first comes from the ELCA definition. Again, that is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I just want to give them their due because I'm not trying to steal this. I'm just giving you a place to start. So spiritual or social interpersonal well-being. Again, there's going to be God language in here. We're going to work with that, okay? We are created by God to be social beings, living in community and instructed to help and love each other. We maintain social well-being through interaction, play, and forgiveness. Take time to nurture your relationships with family, friends, congregation, and co-workers. And so, again, of course, it starts out that we are created by God to be social. But whether you believe that or not, we are social beings. No matter how antisocial you are, how introverted you are still in some sense a social being because you live in the world. 99.9% of you live in the world. And if you don't live in the world, you are living in a cave and you haven't talked to somebody in the last 15 years, you're not listening to this podcast. Let's just be clear about that, right? I am what's considered an introvert on the Myers-Briggs assessment, and we talked about that on a podcast forever ago. But introvert, it doesn't necessarily even mean that you're shy. It just means that you gain energy from time alone. So I can be just as social as the next person. I can go to a party. I can enjoy myself. I can chat with people. I can do all of that stuff. I can be social and social and social until I can't. And then I need some time by myself, not to talk to anybody, maybe to take a nap, read a book. But this social and interpersonal well-being doesn't just mean, are you an introvert or an extrovert? Although that's important to know, because once you know where you gain your energy, do you gain your energy from being around a lot of people all the time? Or does that drain you? Do you gain your energy from more solitary activities? Your social and interpersonal well-being is a part of your overall health. And knowing where you are on that spectrum of introversion and extroversion is going to help you with your social and interpersonal well-being. But this is bigger than that also. So we, no matter how introverted we are or how shy we are or how much the world just makes us want to run away, whatever it is, we still encounter the world. And so when we are emotionally, or when we are intellectually, when our social well-being is taken into account, then we remember that interconnectedness between ourselves and the rest of the world. And, you know, if you are one of those people who maybe you're not in a cave, but you don't like to interact, but you still interact with the world in other ways. Maybe that's online. Maybe you're a gamer and you do the virtual. I sound like a total dork right now. You do the virtual gaming where you talk to other people. Yes, I don't know what I'm talking about here. I've never done it, but I know it exists. There's all kinds of ways that we interact, right? And so we need to take time to nurture those relationships because they are so important. Even nurturing the relationships, this doesn't mean it has to be some giant, huge gesture, but nurturing our relationships. Take time to acknowledge the relationships in your life, knowing that those relationships can be casual. They can be platonic. They can be romantic. They can be that of a coworker. And all of these categories blur into each other. We even have relationships with people that we don't know, people who are very different from us. And we have to take time to nurture those relationships because we do live in the world. We are designed to be, in some sense, social creatures. So knowing that there are other people in the world and taking time to nurture those relationships can help your own overall sense of health, your own. It might affect your mental health. It might affect your physical health. They all interact with each other. But taking time to nurture those relationships, not just with people that you know and love, but even with people that you don't necessarily know. I'm not saying go out and find a stranger and make a friend every day with someone that you've never met. That might work. That might be something that you want to do. What I am saying is take the time to be kind. Take the time to be polite. It's not hard to be polite to the people you interact with every day, from your barista who makes your morning coffee, to the person who bags your groceries, to the person who is serving you food at a restaurant. Be kind. Everyone, you know, there's that cliche, but it's true. Everyone is fighting a battle that you know nothing of. And so take some time to nurture those relationships, even if it's just a smile, even if it's just saying please and thank you, even if it's just saying, how are you? I hope you're having a good day. We do have to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, I'll be talking a little bit more about this nurturing of relationships as an aspect of our overall health, and then we'll be moving on to the next section of the wholeness wheel. So stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We are talking in today's episode about overall health in terms of six aspects of overall health that make up what's called the wholeness wheel. And we talked already about spiritual health, and we're now talking about social and interpersonal well-being, and that we are social creatures. No matter how antisocial we might seem, we still are social creatures, and we encounter relationships in various ways every day. So take some time to think outside of yourself. Your health, of course, is super, super important. And paying attention to yourself and your health and taking time for yourself is incredibly important. Now, we are often so insanely crazy busy that we tend to forget to take time for ourselves. But often when we are insanely crazy busy, we are doing so... We run around and we do so many things that we don't pay attention to ourselves, and we often don't pay attention to others around us. Now, this isn't necessarily true if you are a caregiver of any kind, whether that's a parent or a caregiver of a relative who is ill or any number of things. Then you're paying attention to someone else, and you definitely need to pay attention to your own health and your own. Take the time to make sure that you are, you know, not neglecting your own health in terms of taking care of everyone else. But often when we are so busy, we can lose track of the rest of our relationships. So if you're a caregiver and you're focusing solely on your children, you might not always have time for your relationship with your partner or your relationship with your extended family or your friends. It's all this huge balancing act, right? Our health encompasses so much. And when we take time to nurture our relationships, and that includes our relationship with ourselves, then we are going to, I think, just our health will improve. If we take the time to nurture relationships with our family members, then our family life is going to be better, and then that support system is stronger. When we take time to nurture relationships with coworkers or members of any organization that we belong to, then and think of nurturing as, you know, good communication, taking care to speak kindly to people even when you disagree, Because when we nurture those relationships, when we pay attention to how we interact with others, then those relationships get stronger, our support system gets stronger, our overall health gets stronger. Everything is interconnected. Everything affects something else. It's this whole, you can call it the circle of life, you can call it interconnectedness, you can call it whatever makes the most sense to you, but everything we do affects everything else. Which can sound overwhelming, actually, when you think about it. Oh my gosh, everything I do affects everything else. Why? But it's back to what I was talking about with spiritual health. Meditation. Meditation is just paying attention. Paying attention to the moment that you're in. So in terms of relationships, pay attention to the moment that you're in. If you are having a conversation with a two-year-old, it's really easy to be thinking about that ginormous to-do list that you have to do because that two-year-old is probably babbling about something that you've stopped listening to, whatever. But if you pay attention to the moment that you're in and focus on the person that you're with, the relationship you're in that current moment, whether that's your two-year-old, whether that's your mother, whether that is the checker at the grocery store or the person who's just asked you for directions on the street, pay attention to that moment that you're in. Nurture the relationship that is in front of you at the moment, and your overall sense of health will improve. So those were the first two. So we've had spiritual well-being, social and interpersonal well-being, and then we move on to emotional well-being. Being emotionally well means feeling the full range of human emotions and expressing them appropriately. Self-awareness is the first step. Recognizing and honoring your own feelings and those of others, see, interconnected relationships, stress, contentment, anger, love, sadness, joy, resentment will help you live life abundantly. So self-awareness is a huge part of this, and this is the emotional well-being. Now, I'd say that there is maybe a distinction between emotional well-being and mental health. They're very, very, very interconnected, but it's important to know that mental health sometimes is chemical. Sometimes, no matter how much you work on your emotional health, there can be that chemical imbalance that needs to be addressed, you need to speak to a medical professional about. Sometimes that is the only way to deal with your mental health. You need to, again, it's about self-awareness, it's about seeking help, it's about those relationships again, right? Seeking the advice and the counsel of your medical professionals. Once that mental health is being addressed, then you can focus more on the emotional well-being because it's much, much harder to deal appropriately with our emotions when we are suffering from severe depression, when we are suffering from anxiety, when we are suffering from all kinds of things that can affect our mental health and need to be addressed in specific ways. So mental health, extraordinarily important, but we need to recognize sometimes that mental health needs to be addressed by medical professionals. Emotional health is just as important because that's the self-awareness step. And it affects, again, all aspects of our life. So we have to recognize and honor our own feelings, but we have to recognize and honor the feelings of others. Again, we are in relationship with everyone with whom we come in contact. So when we aren't recognizing the feelings in our lives, stress, contentment, anger, love, sadness, joy, when we don't take the time to recognize those, they can become overwhelming. So think of stress or anger. Anger that isn't expressed can turn into depression. Now, of course, there is chemical depression, but depression can also come from a variety of sources. And when we don't express the anger that we are feeling, when we just keep shoving it down and letting it fester, that can turn into depression because you are not recognizing and honoring your own feelings. And sometimes we're raised in ways that don't allow us to really honor the strongest feelings. You may have been raised in a family that encouraged the exploration and expression of every type of feeling. If you're angry, go ahead and get it out. If you are happy, laugh hysterically as loud as you want. Or you may have been raised in an environment where those huge swings were discouraged. You know, we don't get angry and scream. No, that's not good. No, we don't cry. That's not appropriate. No, you're a little too rambunctious. Try to tone it down a little bit, okay? You know, there's definitely an aspect of families sometimes where they just want things to be status quo, even keel. And so all of the range of emotions aren't encouraged. They are kind of, in a lot of different ways, they are discouraged. And so we have to be aware, first of all, what am I feeling? What emotion am I feeling right now? Am I angry? Why am I angry? Is there something that I can do about this anger? Is my anger directed at someone else? Again, why? What can I do about it? Am I sad? What happened? Why am I feeling this sadness? If it's something that you can recognize and pinpoint in your life, you can start to address it. You can recognize it and say, oh, there's that sadness. I am sad because this, and this happened. If there's sadness that you cannot figure out the source of, that's a time when you need to seek medical help. You need to go find someone who can help you figure out, is that source of sadness something that you simply can't recognize, or is it something that is chemical and needs to be treated in a different way? Being self-aware is so important because you are the only one who can know what's going on in your own head, in your own heart, with your own emotions. But then self-awareness is only the first step, because we have to recognize that everyone else is going through these same emotions, and they may or may not be self-aware about them. So you have to be self-aware of your own feelings in order to not take on the emotions of someone else. If you are feeling stressed and you can't figure out why, maybe you're taking on somebody else's stress because they are not expressing it appropriately and you are taking it on. You need to be self-aware about not only your own feelings, but then also the feelings of others. And also because someone else may be really, really happy and you're not recognizing the source of their happiness. They may be sad and you are not recognizing the source of their sadness. So self-awareness is the first step, because you have to recognize it within yourself. But then recognizing it within others is going to help you live a more healthy and full life. It is about, when we are healthy, we are able to be in better relationships with others. When we are nurturing ourselves, when we are recognizing our own emotions, then we are able to go out and be in relationship with others, be in better relationship with others. So you're seeing this whole, you see why it's a wholeness wheel, right? Because it's very cyclical, it's very interconnected. All of these things join together to create this overall picture of health. And emotional health is one of those, is just one more of those things. We are going to take our second break of the podcast now. When we come back, we will be moving on to the fourth aspect of the wholeness wheel, and that is our physical well-being. So stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We are talking today about the wholeness wheel, a way of looking at our health and wellness from a bigger perspective, or you might consider it several smaller perspectives, if you will, but looking at it from just this picture of overall health, not just one or the other, but seeing the way that all of these parts of ourselves and our health fit together and interconnect. So we have covered so far the first three: spiritual well-being, social interpersonal well-being, and emotional well-being. And now we have moved on to physical well-being, which is a big one. I mean, this is often when people think about health, this is what they think of. They think of diet and exercise, and it's of course incredibly important. I mean, you live in your body your whole life, so you have to take care of it. The definition here on the ELCA page is, while we are not all born perfectly healthy or able to live life without injury or illness, we can live well by tending and nurturing our body as a gift from God. Feed it healthy foods, keep it hydrated, build physical endurance through regular exercise, and respect your body's need for rest. Often when we think of physical health, we think of diet and exercise because we think in terms of weight. We live in a society that has very specific ideas about weight and body image and all of those things. But that is not the most important thing about our physical well-being. The most important thing about our physical well-being is that well-being part of it, that we are healthy. We often, and here's where the overlap and the interconnectedness can happen, because when we spend too much time worrying about our weight in terms of our image and our social image and status, we can start thinking of food in unhealthy ways, which can lead to eating disorders. And that can affect, of course, our mental and emotional health, because we aren't being healthy in the way we are thinking about food. So when you think of food as bad, then that can lead to issues. Of course, there are certain foods that aren't great for us, right? You sit down with a 5-pound bag of sugar and eat it, that's not a good idea. But if you eat that piece of cake at your coworker's baby shower, and then you just start mentally punishing yourself because you ate the cake and you weren't going to eat any cake, that's not good either. Yes, of course you want to create a nutritional plan, and I say nutritional plan rather than diet because diet has so much baggage attached to it. You want to create a nutritional plan that is going to improve your overall health. You may need to lose weight in terms of health, you know, to avoid those risk factors such as heart disease, diabetes, all of those things that come with gaining weight, joint issues, etc. But when we start thinking in terms of just, oh my gosh, I just ate that piece of cake, now I have to punish my body through physical exercise in order to burn those calories, that can lead to unhealthiness. Think of food as fuel for your body. Fuel to do that physical exercise. You know, if you want to work out, and you are going to work out because working out will build your physical endurance and get you healthier, then food is the fuel that you need to run your body. I see so many things where we talk about food as though it's the enemy, and it's really not. We have to change our attitude with food. And this goes back to, again, emotional well-being and how we, if you want to think about it as a relationship with food, go ahead. It can fall into the social interpersonal well-being as well, because it's a relationship. Food isn't the enemy. Food is necessary, and we need food. Now, of course, some foods are better than others, but beating yourself up over food isn't going to be healthy. Find what works for you. Find a way that you can eat healthy, but don't deny yourself simply because you are holding yourself to some standard that may or may not be attainable. Your body might not be designed to be the perfect size, fill in the blank. Your body might be its healthiest at a weight that society doesn't consider acceptable, sexy, whatever word you want to put in there. And I know it's so hard to change. This goes back again to emotional well-being. It's so hard to change the way we think when we are confronted by beautiful people who have been airbrushed within an inch of their life everywhere. And you see clothes that are put on people that don't look a thing like us. And we think, oh, that's so cute. And then we put it on our own bodies and we're like, well, it was cute on the model and it doesn't look anything like that on me. And now I'm standing in fluorescent lights in front of a three-way mirror, sobbing, curled up in the fetal position. Maybe that's just me. But there's so many things. Again, you have to recognize your emotional reactions to these things. Physical well-being. It's not about punishing your body. It's about tending your body, nurturing your body so that it can be the place that you live for your whole life. It's about accepting your body as it is, with its own limitations, with its own challenges, because every body comes with challenges, some of them much, much bigger than others. And if you are a person who is living with a disability of any kind, or a different body type of any kind, then you know that that's going to be a challenge in ways that people who don't live in the same type of body can understand necessarily. They don't know what you go through with your body every day, but you have to come to terms with your body. And you actually, people who have body limitations might come to terms with their bodies more easily than some of the rest of us who still think that the perfect body is attainable. And I hope that makes sense. I'm not trying to offend anyone, and I'm not trying to sound like I am making light of any situation, because I am not. But if your body presents you with challenges like this every day, and you have to learn to accommodate your body in different ways, then you already know that your body is not going to reach that level of perfection that society would have us believe is necessary. You understand that your body faces challenges, and as the person living within that body, you have to nurture it in the best way that you can so that it can do as much as it can, and you can accommodate whatever changes in your physical environment need to be made for you to accommodate that body that you have. And that was really, really badly said, and I apologize. I meant to say it so much more eloquently than that, but the words just sometimes get stuck in my head. Physical well-being, it's a big one, but they're all big. They're all important. Unfortunately, physical well-being is the one that gets the most attention in the world, because we are a visual society and we want to look like the people that we see on the magazines and are told are some kind of perfection that we need to achieve, instead of celebrating the body that we've been given and the body that we are, because it's our body. And the more you can come to terms with it, doesn't mean that you shouldn't nurture it. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to improve it in ways that are healthy. It just means that you're going to have to live in that body for a very long time. So you're going to have to figure out the best way to do so. And usually the best way to do so is by nurturing it and giving it lots of rest and giving it lots of water and giving it appropriate amounts of physical exercise and fueling it with good food. And I'm going to say it, occasionally chocolate, unless you're allergic to chocolate, and then don't. Let's move on from physical well-being to aspect number 5. So that is financial well-being. And that might not sound like it should be part of your health and wellness regimen, but again, interconnectedness, everything overlaps. Being financially well involves making decisions based on our values as reflected in the way we save, spend, and share. Tending to one's financial well-being in this way requires us to be resilient, generous, and focused on sustainability. So you can see where this really can hit all of the other, all of those other parts of the wholeness wheel: spiritual, social, emotional, physical, vocational, intellectual well-being. They all come into play here, right? Because our finances, unfortunately, we need finances to survive in the world that we live in. If you are not paying attention to your finances, if you are making decisions to spend outside of your means, that's going to affect your physical well-being. It's going to affect your emotional well-being. Granted, this is so much bigger. If you want to get into economics, if you want to get into socioeconomics, I mean, this is a huge topic that I am not necessarily well-versed enough to speak on. I mean, I understand that economics and socioeconomics play a huge role in the financial life of many, many people, and that there are cycles and patterns and things that feel out of control and can be out of our own control. But let's just focus on spending within our means. So paying attention again to what is in front of us. Now, if you have expenses that are beyond your monthly paycheck and you are working 2 to 3 jobs already, now that is what I was talking about earlier with economics and socioeconomics and those types of things. And that can be extremely, extremely difficult. And of course, it's going to be detrimental to your overall health. But let's come at this from just kind of an average person who is living in a place where they can afford their, you know, their job basically matches the cost of living. Okay. Again, I'm not trying to say this in ways that are going to be offensive to anyone. I'm just trying to avoid making this podcast 3 years long, because each and every one of these categories has so many different subcategories that you could talk about. But let's say you're just kind of an average person making your paycheck, paying your rent, etc. You have a budget and you know that you make X amount of money and you owe X amount of money in bills. Hopefully, the money that you earn in your paycheck is enough to cover those bills, with some for savings and, you know, those rainy day funds and emergencies, etc. Hopefully that is the case. That's the ideal place to be, right? There are certain things that come into play that we cannot control. But one thing that comes from the society that we live in is, again, keeping up with our neighbors and thinking that we need those material things. And so making decisions to spend outside of our means can really affect our financial well-being. And then we get into things like credit card debt and debt of all kinds, and that's where we can really get into trouble in terms of our financial health when we are spending outside of our means. I'm going to take another quick break. We're going to take the last break of the podcast, and then when we come back, we'll be finishing up with these six categories, talk a little bit more about financial well-being. Stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, and I will be right back.
Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I can't count. I would just like to point that out. So during the break, I was looking at the wholeness wheel and realized that there are actually two segments left. And if you have been keeping track, that would mean that there are seven aspects to the wholeness wheel and not six, which is what I was saying. And when I looked at the wholeness wheel itself, it's because spiritual well-being is in a circle around the wholeness wheel. So remember that I said at the beginning that this is something that I encountered in my life as a Lutheran, that the center of it is baptism. It doesn't have to be baptism for everyone, but then it is surrounded by six aspects of well-being, and those are social and interpersonal, emotional, physical, financial, vocational, intellectual, and then spiritual forms the circle around it. So that's why it's a wholeness wheel, because you've got the center. In this case, it's baptism. Doesn't have to be baptism for you if you don't believe in that. And then the spokes are those six aspects surrounded by our spiritual well-being, which is kind of this all-encompassing thing outside of ourselves. So again, I can't count, or I just did not pay appropriate attention to the wholeness wheel that I was talking to you about, that I thought I knew what I was talking about. All right, let's move on. So we were talking about financial well-being, and really financial well-being is a huge, huge topic and can involve so many different aspects. But in terms of our own health, I think we have to pay attention to how we spend, how we save, and what's left over, if anything, to share. And when we talk about sharing, that doesn't always even mean our financial well-being, right? That can be, you know, sharing our gifts and our abilities with other people. So there's always something to share that isn't necessarily monetary, but saving and spending is really, really important to make sure that we are doing so appropriately, because when you are not doing well financially, and I don't mean when you're not making as much as you would like to make, but when you aren't making enough to meet your basic needs, that is going to affect your overall health, because it's going to affect your emotional health because of the stress of those situations. It's going to affect your physical health because you might not have the medical care that you need because of your financial situation. So this one's really complicated, and it's important to do what you can within the confines of your own situation. Do what you can when you can. There are things that are outside of your control, of course. Moving on, because I'm just going to keep speaking in circles otherwise. Vocational well-being. Not a lot of people talk about vocation. We talk about it in the church sometimes. A lot of people would say that priests or pastors or spiritual leaders have a vocation, but it doesn't have to be a vocation like a religious vocation. Vocation just means when your life's work matches up with your passions, right? So you can have a job that can be your vocation. Our jobs aren't always our vocations. Sometimes our jobs are just means to pay the bills. But when your job can be your vocation, that's pretty amazing. So sometimes you have to find your vocation outside of your job. So you have something that pays the bills, but you also have your vocation. And what is that quote? When your greatest desire meets... I'm going to misquote it, so I'm not going to quote it. But basically, when your passion can help the world around you in some way, then that can be a vocation. You might be in a job that isn't your vocation. You have to find ways to express your vocation, your passion. Maybe instead of vocation, we could use the word passion, because that might make more sense to some people. What are you good at? What makes you just light up inside? Is it something artistic? Is it something more scientific? What is it that just lights up your whole brain with joy when you do it? Maybe that's not something that you think you can actually make a career or a living at. Maybe it is. But our vocational well-being is finding opportunities to use the gifts and talents that are innate within each one of us, because we all have them. We are all good at something, and we are all passionate about something, and we can use those then not only to help ourselves, but to help others around us. And so you can see, once again, I'm going to say it, interconnectedness, overlapping, these spokes overlap and bleed into one another, and they all affect everything else. So your vocation isn't always your job. Sometimes it is. And when that happens, that's awesome. That is one more step that's just one more aspect of your life that's working out. But it's not always. But find ways to express yourself in terms of your passions, in terms of the gifts and abilities that you've been given, the things that give you joy, because that's going to affect your emotional health. It's going to affect your physical health. It's going to affect your social and interpersonal health. It's just going to affect everything. Overlapping. Maybe I should have called this episode the overlapping episode, because everything is connected. Intellectual well-being. Last one. Using our minds keeps us alert and active. Stay curious. Ask questions and seek answers. Explore new responsibilities, experience new things, and keep an open mind. And remember, knowing when and how to let your mind rest is as important as keeping active. Intellectual well-being. Probably not one that we think about very often, right? You know, emotional and physical well-being are huge. Financial, we might not think of in terms of well-being so often, but finances tend to take up a lot of brain space. We tend to think about them a lot. Social and interpersonal well-being, well, we live in society, and so we interact on a daily basis. That comes into play. Locational well-being, you might not think about that quite so much, but it does come up in terms of, okay, what am I going to do next? What job am I going to get? What am I going to train for, et cetera, et cetera. Intellectual well-being, though. How often do you think of that one? I love this one, though. I just love, stay curious, ask questions, seek answers, do all of those things. And this one is going to help your emotional, physical, mental health also, because there are all those studies that show things like playing solitaire or doing all these little mind exercises can help stave off things like Alzheimer's or dementia, etc. Intellectual well-being is going to feed your emotional well-being. Intellectual well-being is going to feed all of your well-being, because if you're staying curious, if you're asking questions, if you're seeking answers, that's just going to help you overall, because you're going to learn new things. You're going to maybe meet new people. You are going to keep an open mind, which really keeps us healthy on so many levels when we keep an open mind, when we stay open to new possibilities. So this one is really fun and might be my favorite one, even though it's one that we don't think of often. And for me, I love to read, and I love to read a variety of different genres and a variety. I love to read, and then I love to talk to people about what they read, and I love to learn new things. I mean, even if it's just, I'm working on a giant Excel spreadsheet, and I need to figure out how to do this in that spreadsheet, and so I Google it. I get a ridiculous sense of satisfaction from Googling things and figuring out how to do something. Something on PowerPoint or something on Word, or just figuring out how to do something. Or I am cooking and I don't have an ingredient that I need, and so either experimenting on my own to figure out what I can replace that ingredient with, or again, my friend Google and figuring out what I can do because I don't have that ingredient and maybe don't have time to run to the store. I love learning new things. I love staying curious. And this, again, it affects all of these aspects, because if you're staying curious and you're asking questions and you're seeking answers, that means that you're engaging your brain. So your emotional well-being is affected. You're asking questions maybe about your financial responsibilities. That's going to help your overall health. You're asking questions about diet and exercise. Physical health, you are asking questions of your children, your parents, your spouse. How was your day? What made you smile today? What can we do better in our relationship? Etc., etc., etc. Intellectual well-being might just be my favorite. I think I'm going to come down with this one being my favorite, because staying curious, asking questions, seeking answers is going to help you to maintain overall health in all of those other sections as well. But also remember to let your mind rest, to find ways, again, whether that's yoga, whether that's meditation, whether it's reading, whether it's riding your bike or taking a hike, or sounding like Dr. Seuss because you just made a silly rhyme in the middle of a podcast. Whatever it is, find ways to give your brain a rest, because staying curious and asking questions and seeking answers is great. But if you just let your brain swirl and swirl and swirl and swirl and swirl like a hamster in a wheel, that's going to, again, affect your overall health, and it's not going to be good. So I hope that you found something of interest in this whole exercise. Again, if you Google, see, there it is again, Google. If you just look up wholeness wheel, it will take you to, there's images of it. Of course, you can just look at an image. It will take you to some of the pages that the ELCA has put out that will give you more information. Again, you do not have to be of a certain denomination or a certain religious background to find help in this wheel. I just think it's an interesting way to look at overall health. So again, spiritual well-being kind of wraps up the whole thing, but those six spokes of the wholeness wheel are social interpersonal well-being, emotional well-being, physical well-being, financial well-being, vocational well-being, intellectual well-being. What would you add? Is there anything that you thought, that should be on there? I think that they should cover this in that wholeness wheel. Or I don't know if I agree with that or not. What do you think about the wholeness wheel as a whole? I got to wrap this up. I'm starting to get loopy. But I would love to hear your thoughts. As always, when at the end of the episode, I talk about social media. If you find us on Facebook or Twitter or even Instagram, and I'll post a picture on Instagram of this wholeness wheel so that you can see what it looks like. What do you think? Was there anything that jumped out at you? Was there anything that made you say, oh, that makes a lot of sense? Was there anything that you wished had been present? I would love to hear your thoughts on any of that. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Health and Wellness Podcast. I hope you will join me next time when I will be speaking with Tara Browning, who is an advocate for vaginal birth after surgery or after C-section called VBAC. She's going to be talking about her experiences. She's going to be talking about some of the research that she's done. And I'm really looking forward to talking to her about something that maybe doesn't get talked about a lot. So looking forward to that. I hope you will join me for that next episode. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, any app that you use for your mobile device. And you can find us on social media, as I was just saying, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. thank you so much for joining me, and I hope that you are able to encompass this idea of overall whole wealth. Whole health. So go out, have a lovely day, have a healthy day, and I will talk to you next time. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.